Friends, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste into a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said,
"And there's that."
This is the story of life for the people of God.
Thank you, Samuel, and thank you, choir. Beloved of God, would you join with me in prayer? Holy and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart in this room be holy and pleasing in your sight. You are our rock. You are our Redeemer. Amen. So here's how we too often think of Mary. She is a mild and meek young woman. We picture her bent over her baby, awestruck. She is young. She is gentle. We admire her, respect her. We even honor her, but she is background, while her child, born in a barn, glows in the manger. The writer Nancy Rockwell writes that the Mary of our modern imagination is, quote, meek, mild, and mindless. And we sing that favorite Christmas song that's on the radio all the time. Do you know that song, that Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? I love that song. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? And it goes on as we wonder in song, did Mary know? Did she know that her story, her birth, her baby would change the world? Did you know that your baby boy would walk where angels trod? Beloved of God, Mary knew. Of course she knew. We've got to get better at telling our stories. We've especially got to get better at listening to women before we tell their stories for them. Mary knew. This story doesn't happen without her, or around her, or in spite of her, or as a surprise to her. The angel tells Mary in the Annunciation what is being asked of her, and Mary, a poor girl living in a rural village in an occupied country, Mary, who is engaged but not yet married, Mary was asked to bear the Son of God. And when God chose her, God was asking so much of Mary. This would be dangerous for her. This would be shameful for her when people found out and they would not understand. This would be challenging, and God knew that. And Mary knew that. And the angel knew that, which is why in the Annunciation, the angel waits for Mary to ask her question, waits for Mary to take her breath, and waits for Mary to respond. And when she does, Mary says, yes. Yes, to all of that. Here am I, she says, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Yes, she says, even though it's dangerous. Yes, she says, even though it's unheard of. Yes, she says, even though it's scary. Yes, she says, even though no one would understand. In other words, yes, Mary knew. She knew this child would be holy, and she knew the most holy undertakings, like crossing the desert to free a people from slavery, like building a boat to pull together all creation to survive the storm together, like bearing God's child. Most holy undertakings involve risk, don't they? And danger? Mary was a woman of faith. She knew these stories. She knew our sacred text is bursting with the stories of people who said yes, even when God asked them to do the impossible. So, beloved of God, yes, let's believe that Mary knew when she said yes what she was saying yes to. Mary. When I hear this story today, I don't wonder if Mary knew what she was getting into. I wonder if we know. Because the story of this season, the story of our lives, of our redemption, of love incarnate coming to live among us, this story wouldn't happen, at least not in the way we know it, if Mary hadn't said the hardest yes of her whole life. That's where we're at when our text opens for today. That story that Samuel so beautifully read and our choir so beautifully sang. The text opens with Mary, who has just said yes, and she goes to see her old friend Elizabeth. And some scholars wonder, what's the purpose of this visit? If Mary's just been visited by the angel, what is it she's seeking from Elizabeth? Does she need reassurance? Does she need a person to say, yes, this is really happening, Mary? They ask all these questions, but friends, I think you and I know why Mary goes to Elizabeth. Any of us here who is blessed with good community and who has ever faced the impossible in our lives, we know. When life comes apart at the seams, where do we go? We go to our Elizabeths, right? We put our pain in their laps and we pull our strength from their bones and we sit at their tables and we let our Elizabeths feed us. Mary goes to Elizabeth, I think, because this is what we do when the hardest things come, when the grief comes or the cancer comes or the news comes or the divorce comes. In Mary's case, when the dangerous, unprepared for pregnancy to bear the Son of God comes, of course she goes to Elizabeth. And then Mary shows us there what to do when we get to the edge of what's possible. When we can't imagine what's coming or how we'll face it, when too much has been asked of us and we said yes and now we don't know what to do, Mary sings. And it could have been, she could have chosen a song of lament. And there's great standard for that in our tradition, right? And we would have understood that perfectly. If Mary stood with Elizabeth, both of them, these strange pregnancies, Elizabeth too old, Mary too young and unwed and too poor, if they had stood there and sung lament, we would understand that. But Mary doesn't sing lament. And it could have been that Mary chose to sing prayer, right? This could have been the kind of, God, okay, I said yes, you're in charge here, so you give me what I need because I can't do this alone. You be in my everyday kind of prayer. And we would have understood that. But Mary doesn't sing that kind of prayer. Mary sings joy. She sings defiant joy. She sings joy, as we talked about with our children this morning, not happiness coming from the outside. What's coming from the outside for Mary is pretty hard. She sings a song of joy that comes from her core. And she sings it for herself, and she sings it for Elizabeth, and she sings it for you and for me and for anyone who will hear over the ages. Here's what she sings. She sings, "Let me tell you who my God is." She sings, "My God is a God of mercy." She sings, "My God is a God who scatters the proud and honors the humble." She sings, "My God is a God who brings down the powerful and lifts up the lowly. My God is a God who fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. My God is a God who has been making promises since the days of Abraham. And my God is a God who keeps those promises." This is defiant joy. This is defiant joy, to stand as Mary stood, in pain, in danger, in a time when it looked from the outside like all was coming apart for her or it was about to, and instead of lament, instead of sobbing, though she probably did do that, she stands and chooses to sing, I know my God will be in this, and I know who my God is, so even in this pain, I claim defiant joy. This is our Advent song, beloved of God. We stand today with Mary, and we face our grief, our cancer, our aging. We face the pain of our story, whatever it is, and we stand with our world, with this world, where violence has reigned for so long in so many countries that we've become numb to it. We stand today and face our world where we honored this week the 6-year anniversary of the deaths of the children at Sandy Hook Elementary School. And we stand today in our world where a child died from exhaustion this week at our own border. We face our world, this world, this imperfect, broken, messy, hurting world. And we stand with Mary, and we join in her song. Today we sing, even here, let me tell you who my God is. My God is a God of mercy. My God is a God who scatters the proud and honors the humble. My God is a God who brings down the powerful and lifts up the lowly. My God is a God who fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. My God is a God who has been making promises since the days of Abraham, and my God is a God who keeps those promises. Mary joins the tradition of Hannah and Zechariah and any number of prophets and leaders who have turned toward the impossible and found their way forward through song. Today in Advent, we are invited to join that song. Do you know the story of the Requiem at Terezin? I learned this story from the Reverend Amy Butler. Maybe you know it. During World War II, the Nazis built a concentration camp called Terezin outside the city of Prague, and it was a way station for Jewish prisoners who would come and be held there before they were sent to the gas chambers at Auschwitz. One of the prisoners there was Raphael Schachter. He was a conductor. And he smuggled in a score, just one score, of Verdi's Requiem, a piece of music. And in the camp, he gathered together singers. And together they formed a chorus, and he taught them from this one score, he taught them to sing Verdi's Requiem. And they performed this Requiem, this very complicated piece of music, 16 times in this camp. The choir changed as people came and as people were sent to Auschwitz. And they sang. They sang for themselves. They sang for the Nazi officers. They sang for the Red Cross when the Red Cross came to this camp and the Nazis used it as a way of saying, look, our camps are healthy. They're full of song. They're places of culture. They sang. Over and over again, they sang. One prisoner explained, doing a performance was not entertainment. That was a fight for life. Another said, these were hours of pure joy, as much as you can call it joy in a camp. Those who survived call it the defiant requiem. And every time they sang, it was song to tell the Nazis who they were. It was song to tell the Nazis they could still sing. It was song to show the Nazis their humanity. It was song to remind themselves of who they were and whose they were. It was song of defiant joy. One survivor recalls, "You'll never understand or get close to what music truly meant to each of us as a sustaining power." A defiant requiem. Even in that space when all seemed lost, defiant joy. This is why they sang. This is why Mary sang. And beloved of God, this is why we sing. This is why we sing Amazing Grace at gravesides, and this is why we sing We Shall Overcome at protests, and this is why we sing Silent Night on Christmas Eve, and this is why we sing Sunday after Sunday, because we know we have also said yes to the impossible. Yes to love, yes to pain, yes to children, yes to this world, yes to this life, yes to grief, because we said yes to love. And we are also facing the impossible. Beloved of God, this Advent, Mary's defiant joy is for you. Not happiness that all will be well, but defiance as you stand in your story and you face whatever it is in your life and you choose to sing. Let me tell you who my God is. My God is a God of mercy. My God is a God who brings down the powerful and lifts up the lowly. My God is a God who keeps God's promises. This Advent season, beloved of God, what will your defiant joy look like in your story in this world? How will you sing your defiant requiem? Alleluia and amen, and let us sing.